Ezekiel 36:26, but I hope that I'll probably outlast you anyway, so we'll have to get the next people to do it. 36:26. Thank y'all for coming. Sometimes I'm tired. I'm tired, you know, my age, sometimes I'm tired. But I don't think there's ever a time I don't want to preach. And I've always been that way since he saved me and put it in my mouth. Ezekiel 36:26. I want to talk about, what about our heart? That's my question tonight. What about my heart? What about the heart of the church? What about the heart of the nation? What about the heart of the family? What about the heart of the home? What about our heart? Now, if you look at Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, he says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers. And you shall be my people. And I will be your God." Now I know God was writing this to the Israelites. And I know he was telling them, you know, if you get this right, I'm going to do something for you. And so tonight, I kind of want to lay that on my country too. And I'm going to talk a little bit more depth about this Sunday, but from the beginning of this country, God reserved this land to have us here so we could send out missionaries, print Bibles, gospel literature. America has started more overseas Christian orphanages and Christian colleges and Christian hospitals than any country in the world. We've sent out more missionaries than any country in the world. So don't give up on us yet, okay? We just got to get our heart right. Amen. And if we'll do what he says, he'll give people a new heart. The day he saved me, he gave me a new heart. He took out that old stony heart. Oh, hard, mean heart. And he gave me a tender heart. Amen. For about a year, if you just say Jesus, I'd start crying. I was so tore up, man, I couldn't get over it. And I couldn't sing Jesus Loves Me. I wouldn't make it all the way through. And I couldn't sing Amazing Grace. I wouldn't make it all the way through because he gave me a tender heart. But I got to think about that heart, so I looked up some things about the heart. There's several things called heart, okay? Number one, of course, we know it's this muscular organ we got here. It's made out of muscle. It's a physical organ. We know that. And the heart of something is the very inner part of something is the heart of that thing. You understand what I'm saying? This is the heart of me. It's my innermost part. And anything has a heart. Now, I don't mean a pumping heart or even a spiritual heart, but the centermost of something, whatever thing else revolves around. It's the chief part of something. If you don't think this is chief part, take it out. Or just stick something in it. You'll find out right quick. This is the chief part of us. It's the seat of all affections and passions as love, joy, grief, hatred, courage, pleasure. The heart is. That's where our passions are, right there. That's why when you're in love, your heart skips a beat. And that's why when you're mad, your heart kind of flutters and you can't breathe good, you know, when you get mad, things like that. You get excited, your heart pumps more. And so that's the seat of our affections. That's our center. That's our innermost being. That's our chief part. Not only the physical part, but the spiritual part is there also. Y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
Now, I thought about this. It's the seat of understanding. It's the seat of understanding. The Bible calls it a wise heart. And you say, well, that's your brain. No, this is where your feelings are. And listen, the seat of your understanding affects your feelings too, how you understand things. Now, not only that, I thought about this. It's a person's character. loving, hateful, courage, secret thoughts. It's a state of mind. It's consciousness or a sense of goodwill and well-being. And all that has to do with the heart. Every bit of that does. Wouldn't you agree with that? Y'all not Methodists anymore. You say amen. Okay. Okay, there you go. Okay, you can too, Garg. You say amen. Though we haven't got you under yet. It's coming. We may have to do that at your funeral, but we'll get it done. But listen, he says that we'll lay things to heart. We'll lay things to heart. That's not just take them into memory, but take them into your emotions too. Lay things to heart. Make this make you feel different. Lay it to heart. And then it's the center of all the operations of human life. The human heart is. That organ is. But so is the spiritual heart. Without the spirit, the human heart dies. And when God calls your spirit out, the human heart doesn't function anymore. So it's the seed of all human life, spiritual and physical. In Ezekiel 36:26, he says, I'll give you a new heart. Now I looked it up and there's a whole lot more than this in the Bible, but I found three hearts that I think we need to talk about. And even in our country, in our churches, in our countries, in our homes, in our relationship, in our personal being, we need to think about these hearts. Turn to Psalm 12:2. Psalm 12:2, if you will. There's a lot more, but these, you won't stay as long as I want to preach, so. Turn to Psalm chapter 12, and I'll get there myself. Psalm chapter 12, verse 2, there it is. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips, with a double heart, they speak. Now, that's the opposite of Matthew 5:8. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. Matthew 5:8, he says, blessed are the pure in heart. Now, double heart is just the opposite of your pure heart, because something that's contaminated with something from the outside, it can't be two things at one time. So if a heart is contaminated with something else, it's a double heart. And that double heart is divided. It's separated or broken into different parts like tunnel vision. It can only see one thing because it's gone off of its main course. And now it's got a double vision. A Christian ought to have an undivided heart. He ought to have a single heart. Amen? Jesus said that we'll love him with all what? All. Amen. All our heart. Philippians 3:13, if you want to look over there, Philippians 3:13, look with me. In Philippians 3:13 and verse 14, and y'all already know these verses, the apostle Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, I hadn't arrived yet, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, bad faith is double-minded. Good faith is single-minded. Paul said, I got one thing on my mind. That's it. I'm forgetting everything else. I got one thing. Now, bad faith, you would be divided over, your heart would be on this, your heart would be on that. And that's why he says, don't become entangled with the things of the world or filthy mammon and things like that, because it'll cause you to have your affections divided. And God won't be on the seat of authority anymore. Amen. You don't put anybody on that seat. You get single-hearted. Amen. And so, a double heart is what a lot of Christians have. They're worldly minded. They've got the heart on the things of this world, and then in their spare time, they give God a little bit of the heart too. You ever notice that? Now, so I don't want to be double minded. I want to be single minded. I want to have a single heart. Sometimes people will tell me, they'll say, well, I'll say, are you a Christian? They'll say, yeah, I'm a Christian. And I say, well, why do you think so? And they'll say, well, I go to such church. I help build that church. My mom and dad is buried in the graveyard, you know. And I love that place. And I think, well, that has, and I tell them, I said, that has absolutely nothing to do with being a Christian. I said, now you'll love your church, but that's not the one that saved you. That's not God. And your church can go bad and change, and God will never go bad and change. And so what they do is they'll be double-minded. They'll pay God lip service, but they really love the organization more than they do the organism of the body of Christ. I was witnessing to a man one day, and he said he was saved, and I took him through the plan of salvation. He said, I've done that. I said, well, then why do you stay in that apostate church? The church is gone. It's just a social club. It's no longer. There's no power there. I said, when's the last time anybody got saved at your church? Well, I don't know. When's the last time he got baptized? I said, well, he said, well, I don't know. Well, when's the last time you saw anybody get touched by God and weep and cry or get right with God or make amends or repent or do anything? He said, well, we don't do that. I said, that's because your church is dead. You're riding a dead horse and you're getting nowhere. Get off that horse and go find you another one. But he had so much allegiance to a building and property that he didn't think about God. It was just that place. He said, well, if I left, I'd have to go dig up my parents and take them with me. I said, well, if that's what it took, that's what I'd do. I said, you can do that. There's companies that do that. I said, if that's the only thing that helped me there, I'd go get them. Of course, it won't hear that. And then some people, their heart's divided between a denomination and God. And they're more loyal to their denomination than they are God. And then there's some that's more loyal to a person. Maybe it's a preacher or a priest or a husband or a wife. And some are more loyal to their children than they are God. They make idols out of their own children. Yeah. So we can have a double heart. We can have a single heart. He said, love me with all your heart. And matter of fact, he said, you'll love me so much that it makes the love for you and your wife look like hate. Or you and your mom and daddy, it looks like hate. Unless you love me more than them, you can't be my disciple. Did he not say that?
Yes.
Sure he said that. So I don't want a double heart. I want to have a single heart. Amen? Now, Psalm 57, verse 7. By the way, I'm going to go ahead and tell you. Don't get mad at me, okay? Don't give your heart to a politician either. Now, I love my president, and I voted for him. I vote for him again. But he don't have my heart, okay? No, sir. No, now he has my allegiance as long as he's the honest man, you know. But he don't have my heart. He has my honor. He has my respect. But he doesn't have my heart. My heart's singular. God's got my heart. I love my wife. I love my children. I'd die for them. But I love God more. Now, I know it might be hard to understand, but that's the way it's supposed to be. And then I want you, Psalm 57, verse 7, he says this. He says, my heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Now, in our modern day English, fixed means it was broken and now it's repaired. But in English, real English, I looked it up to make sure. I looked up in the King James Version Dictionary. And I already thought this anyway. I like the old English, by the way. It's more beautiful and royal. But anyway, fixed means placed securely or fastened, not subject to change, firmly set in mind and heart, a final form of character. I mean, this is going to be your best and your last character change. You're going to get your heart fixed, and you'll never have to do that again. And that's a permanent thing. See, it changes our character. We get that new heart. We took out the stony heart, put in a fleshly heart, and now our heart is not only not broken, fixed, like Americans use it, but it's fastened It's nailed down. It's immovable. Let me tell you something. Listen to this. People say, why would a Christian join these apostate groups or cults? Because their heart was not fixed. They're not really Christians. Next time Mormon comes to your house, you look at those two pretty little old boys and you say, which one of you grew up Mormon and which one didn't? And always one of them grew up Mormon and the other one is a proselyte from Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian or some Protestant denomination of some kind, maybe even Catholic. But their heart was not fixed in the first place, so they were easily drawn away to untruth, lies, myths, and apostasy. Well, I just don't see how they go to that church. Their heart's not fixed. Look, if my heart is fixed on Jesus Christ, there's nothing to replace that.
Right.
Y'all make fun of me about Pepsi, but my heart's fixed on Pepsi. I'll drink Coca-Cola, but I do it. I get sick with all that syrup they got in it. My wife says Pepsi ain't nothing but a watered down Coca-Cola. I can tell the difference. My heart's been fixed. Amen. We ate black-eyed peas and collard greens for our tradition and cornbread. And my wife cooked the best collard greens you ever eat in your life. Shut up, Jeffrey. When you get to heaven, you're going to... Manna is partly collard greens. It's collard greens and black-eyed peas and grits all put in a little ball. But my heart was fixed. Look, you could have brought me a porterhouse in there or a T-bone or a sirloin or anything. I wouldn't have rather had anything more than those two things right there that we ate. Now, you don't have to like that. Yours might be fixed on kale. I don't know. Some kind of, I don't know. Y'all put some wild things on Facebook. I see heartburn in a lot of those pictures. I see heartburn. But get your heart fixed on something and nobody can take you away from that. March 5th, 1978, I got my heart fixed spiritually. I got it fixed physically also. And thank God he did. And he gave me a new heart. And I'm not looking for another. I'm not. I'm done. Well, have you ever read this? Have you ever tried... And people bring me Bible perversions, you know. Have you ever read one of these? I said, no. Why won't you read it? No. Why not? Don't need it. There's no need to argue with people that ignorant about the King James Bible. They're just ignorant. They don't know. So I don't argue. I say, no, I don't need it. I've got the book that's been here over 400 years. Amen. God put this thing in my hand, and I ain't seen nothing out of it but good works. Look, I'm like David. King Saul, you might give me this armor and your sword and all this stuff, but I ain't never tried this. I don't know if it'll work or not, but I got this little sling. I'm going to knock that guy's block off with this. Amen. But I've never tried yours. And I tell people that about Bibles. I said, no, I ain't ever read it. I never tried that. Don't need to. I got a Bible. Well, I won't change. This thing right here done it all for me. It fixed me. It fixed me. I've seen too many go through those others and get repaired but not fixed. They get patched. And that don't last long. Amen. But once you get your heart fixed, it's settled once and for all. Nothing, I shall not be moved. Nothing will move you. And I'm not looking for nothing else. I'm fixed. That'd be like going to get open heart transplant and go back 2 weeks later and say, Doc, I don't know if I like this model or not. Can you get me another one? You fool. Listen, I'm fixed. I have no desire. I have no thirst for nothing else. I'm satisfied. I have a Savior. He's the one that created the heaven and the earth and all therein, everything in the earth and under the earth and above the earth. He made it, and one day when it's over, He'll do away with it and make me a new earth. And why would I be hunting for anybody else? Amen. I read about Joseph Smith. He was a weak, pitiful man. He ain't going to be my Savior. I read about Charles Taz Russell and his Russellites. They call him Jehovah's Witness now. Hey, I'm not following that guy. He was scared to death to die. He was scared of hell. That's why he took it out of his translation. He was scared of going to hell. I'm not following him. I'm not following some guy in Korea that says he's the reincarnated Jesus Christ. He's a liar and a crook. Why would I follow? Hey, I'm here. I'm fixed. Amen, amen. My car is in the shop they were supposed to fix. I hope they fix it today. But you know what? When they fix it, I'm not going back up there next week and say, can you do this again? If it's not broke, I'm not fixing it. Amen. People say, why don't you get you a new truck? Well, mine's still doing pretty good. Why would I know it needs? Amen. Mine, I can outrun Holroyd in mine, so. So I'm doing pretty good at it, right? Hold on. Yeah. Not that his couldn't outrun mine, just he won't. But hey, don't fix something if it's not broken. The government's bad about that. If you think they ain't, did you see our new stop sign when you come in here? We now have two stop signs. They put one on this side of the road too. My wife said, since when did anybody come up to the stop sign on this side of the road? There's one on that side, and there's one on this side. Right. If you ever want something fixed, you don't want to call the government to fix it. Amen? So y'all need to quit worrying so much about the government. They'll never fix anything. Amen? But look, I got a fixed heart. Psalm 112:7. Look at it with me. And I'll get back over there. There it is. Psalm 112:7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Psalm 108:1. Psalm 108:1. Look at it with me. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. He said, I'm going to give you glory through my glory because you fixed me. Amen. And I'm going to sing and I'm going to praise God. And let me tell you something. If you come here and you don't like singing and praising God, maybe it ain't fixed. It tickles me. Amen. I remember I was preaching down in Lancaster, Douglas Road Baptist Church Revival, and the little boy there, he was kind of, mama said, touched. He was touched, touched. And great guy, he was just touched, And but he's a good cook. He worked at one of the local drive-in restaurants, best hamburger you'd ever eat. He passed away a while back. But I told a story about that. I said, if you can't do nothing else, if you can't say amen or praise the Lord or hallelujah, just say hot dog. And the old boy said, hot dog. And then every once in a while he'd say, hot dog, preacher, hot dog. I'd get to preach and he'd say, hot dog, preacher, hot dog. But hey, I wouldn't tell that boy to quit that. He was praising God. His heart was fixed. Amen. Leave him alone. Hey, amen. I better go on. Listen, Psalm 16:9. I'm talking about the heart, okay? I'm talking about the heart, the center of your being. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, the heart. Psalm 16:9. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Why did he say that? Because his heart's fixed. You know it's hard to stay down long if your heart's been fixed. Now, I ain't saying you won't get down. Old devil will knock you down. You'll knock yourself down sometimes. But I tell you this, you won't stay down there. That's the test. So many over these almost, I don't even know, since 1980 I've been preaching. licensed in 82, ordained in 83. You wouldn't believe how many people I've seen start out and never finish. And I used to worry about that. Well, Lord, why is that? And now I know their heart wasn't fixed. It wasn't fixed. They never got it settled. They had a moment of emotion. They had a moment that God touched them and they felt His presence. And they wept and they cried and they thought they were fixed. But He's not going to fix it unless you ask Him to. You got to receive His fixing. Amen? And so I've seen a lot of them come down the aisle weeping and crying and wailing and all this, you know, and get down, weep and cry and get up and say, I got it, I got it, I got it. And 2 months later, 2 years later, you can't find them. But those that have had their heart fixed, He plainly says, therefore my heart, that new heart, is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also, all my flesh, will rest in hope. Why? Because I got a glad heart now. I got a glad heart. Now, I looked up that word, glad. Y'all ready for it? King James Definition Dictionary. Okay? You ain't gonna believe it. Glad heart. Here it is. Make happy. Make pleased. Old English, in the Old English, the sense of the meaning was bright and shiny. Glad. Bright and shiny. The original word, the root of that, you know, all our words have a root, came from German, and it means bright and joyous. And the Latin word, which all these words, you know, come together, the Latin word means smooth. You get glad, everything's smooth. Everything's smooth. You ever see anybody, they say, he's smooth. That means he's glad, he's happy. He ain't a crybaby, amen? In other words, the adverbs are happy, cheerful, gleeful, merrily. The adjectives are willing to, prepared to, happy to, pleased to. A glad heart is. Think about that. I'm going to say it again. A glad heart is willing to, it is prepared to, it is happy to, and it is pleased to do what? Love God. Praise God. Give God the glory. Have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I don't know who would be calling us while I was preaching on that phone. Whoever you are, you need to quit. But anyway, listen. Psalm 16:9 says that he had a glad heart. Therefore is my heart glad. Now the worst testimony in a Christian is not to have a glad heart. That's a bad testimony. Of all people in this world and the next, will to be willing to and prepared to give God the glory. Amen. With a glad heart. Amen. And he can't give you one with a complaint. Hey, he can't get the glory if you got a complaining heart or a bitter heart or a hateful heart or a hard heart. We must have a glad heart. And why would people want to be saved looking at us? If we were any other way. I remember before I was saved, you know, people say, well, he's a Christian. I'd say, if he's a Christian, Woods is full of them. Yeah. Amen. They said, well, she's a Christian. I said, well, boy, if she's a Christian, I must be a good one. And I wasn't even a Christian. But they weren't glad people. They were mean. They were ornery. They were grumbling all the time. They were not smooth. They were not willing to or prepared to or happy to or pleased to give God glory for anything. And they said they were Christians. You ain't mad at me, are you? Well, good. You got a glad heart. Psalm 31:7. I'm about through. Psalm 31:7. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. For thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversity. Don't you think we'll say that? Psalm 32:11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. I heard a fellow say one, a young preacher, he didn't know any better, he was ignorant. I've been that way myself. He said, the reason more people aren't getting saved in that particular church that I was in at that time is because people quit shouting. And I sat there and I thought, or it could be we don't hear anything to shout about. Because my heart was fixed. My heart was glad. I was happy to be saved. I was giving God the glory for everything. But he stands up there and tells me that the church is dead and it won't get revived because people quit jumping over pews and running up and down the aisles and screaming, hollering, foaming at the mouth. Well, I got news for him. I never seen him do it either. And I was sitting there with a fixed heart. And he's still preaching. And I hope he got his heart fixed. But you will be glad. And you will give God the glory. And everybody praises God in some way or another. And I say amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah, things like that now. But I didn't always do that. When I first got saved, I'm telling you, I asked my wife, I just sit there and cry. It was just so good. Some preacher would get to preaching, I'd be sitting up there just crying like a baby while everybody else is running aisles and stuff. I'm up there crying, saying, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But if you are, look, if you do have a single heart and a fixed heart, and if you do have a glad heart, you ought to notify your face every once in a while. How many of y'all ever eat persimmons? Would you raise your hand if you ever eat persimmons? Did you eat it or did you just taste it? Yeah, if you peel them and they're not green. How many of y'all ever ate a green persimmon? But you bit into it. How many of you whistled after that? You can't whistle. Your mouth feels like talcum powder. It's just... So dry, you ever ate one? Get him one. Get him a green one, then he'll taste it. He's a man. He'll eat anything. But now, listen. That persimmon's good if you peel that outer part off of it. It's like a big plum. But it's the texture of something wholly different, but kind of like a plum. And... but it when it's real, real ripe, I mean so ripe it fell off the tree, it's edible. Before that, you will not hide what just happened. You go. Water, and then you'll drink water. But I said that to say this, if you get a fixed heart, you won't hide it. It'll come out. I mean, if you really got a fixed heart, you cannot hide it. That's right. But in spite of grieving, in spite of hurt, in spite of pain, the joy of the Lord will always be there. And if you'll let it, your heart will express itself and God will get the glory. One of my hero preachers, Dr. Jack Hiles, for a few years there, he had like mini strokes, and he'd go out of his mind. And he had three, and on the third one, they thought that this was probably going to kill him, but it didn't. But he was afraid of what he might have said while he was under the influence of whatever it was that took over him. And so he asked the nurse when she came in there the next day to to minister to him. He was crying. He said, Miss So-and-so, he called her name, said, I hope I didn't say no bad words when I was out. He said he wouldn't remember anything. He said, I hope I was nice when I was out. He said, I don't want to be mean to nobody. I don't want people to think I'm mean or ugly. And she started crying and said, Dr. Hiles, all you did was witness to me and tell me how to be saved over and over and over and over again. She said, you wasn't mean. You was loving and gentle and kind. He said, well, thank God. God got the glory for my sickness. Yes. Amen. So my heart's fixed. I hope yours is. My heart's singular. I hope yours is. It's not double. And listen, I want to have a glad heart. Don't you? Yes. And I want people to know that. All right. And we're going to have bad days. And our country's going to have bad times. But you know what? The heart of our country used to be fixed. And God ain't dead. He hadn't changed. He can fix the heart again. And we can rejoice again. Until then, we just trust the Lord. Our relationships, He can fix them. Our families, He can fix them. Our health. Our health, He can fix our health. He can fix anything. If you let Him fix your heart first. And if God's people in America will turn their heart back to Jesus Christ, this country can be saved.
That's right.
Let's stand. Father, thank you for your inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God. And Lord, thank you for fixing my heart.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, I pray others in here has had their heart fixed. If it happened tonight, be a good night to get some surgery by the Holy Ghost. And let Him fix your heart. All you got to do is admit you're a sinner. Because all have sinned. All you got to do is ask Him to save you. Admitting that you're a sinner and that He died for your sins and rose from the dead, and He'll save you. But then maybe there's a Christian here tonight. Maybe you got a damaged heart. It got fixed when you were saved, but you've let things hinder you and situations and tragedies and things like that. Well, your heart hadn't changed. That's your feelings. That's your emotions that's changed. If you'll turn back to Him and ask Him to fix that, He'll fix your heart again. Lord, our children need their hearts fixed. Our grandchildren need their hearts fixed. We have church members need heart fixed. And our nation definitely needs its heart fixed. Would you revive us again, Lord, that thy people may rejoice in thee? You said if we'd ask, we'd receive. You said if we'd call, you'd answer. You said if we'd humble ourselves and turn from our wicked ways, you'd heal our land. And God, I know you were going to save Sodom for 10 people. But you couldn't find 10 that was right. God, surely there's 10 righteous Christians in America that are calling out to you right now. And I know there's some in this room right now. So God, I believe you're going to do it. I believe you're going to do it. Heal our homes, heal our families, heal our nation, heal our churches, fix their hearts. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's get a hymn book.